Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Carter comes up shooting. Got it! 1.2 seconds to go! Vince Carter, you are amazing!
Give it to me! A little baby black! Get that garbage out of here!
Welcome to 95 to Infinity Podcast. I am Brandon Kajioka. It's been an incredibly hectic week for the NBA. A lot of people removed, a lot of trades, a lot of transactions. And here to break it down for you guys is Gregory Yeroshadis and Christian Graff. And boys, how are you doing today?
We are good. I mean, how are you doing? You're back. We missed you.
That's what I was going to say. How are you doing? Up.
You putting on the big boy pants and making your own podcast. I'm like a dad. You know what I mean? I'm so incredibly proud of my two podcast children. The podfather.
Did you hear that? We referred to you as the Russell Westbrook to our James Harden and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, man. I just sit on the bench and swag out, and you know, just that's it, man. That's it. I can't handle the pressure in the fourth quarter, anyways. I just like to sit down, relax, put my feet up. Do whatever Russ does on the bench. So the reason why we're having this podcast is obviously focus on Raptors made later, but I want to get to
quite simple for you guys.
I want to talk winners and
I'm going to throw it to you, Greg.
Who is the end for teams in the NBA trade deadline? What one team stuck out for you amongst
teams in the league?
Oh, well, it's quite obviously the Philadelphia 76ers, and specifically Daryl Morey. I think Daryl Morey, I griped last week just on this idea that he was willing to throw the season to get James Harden in a sign-and-trade. But, you know, the poker game that he's been playing this whole time, right? Like, he's probably had his eyes set on James for a long time. I guarantee you there's been some backdoor shenanigans there. Not that anybody could prove it. But I think Daryl Morey's strategy obviously paid off. So he's definitely a winner. I also think Russell Westbrook is a winner because he didn't get traded. Right. And maybe you could say the Lakers are then losers. But so those are the two people that I can say are clear winners. And as for teams, to me, it's definitely the Philadelphia 76ers.
That's crazy to me that you say that. I mean, honestly, if anything, I'm picking Brooklyn as a better team there out of the two that got they both got better. Don't get me wrong. Long term or past the season.
One question. Do you think based on. The way the team structured, do you think Seth Curry may be a better fit than James Harden?
You know, working with Kevin Durant,
working with Kyrie Irving, you know what I mean? Just the flow of that offense.
Yeah, I mean, well, Seth Curry, I mean, he's just one piece of the pie, right? Like, if you have Kyrie Irving handling the ball, and then you have Kevin Durant, doesn't matter, but you have Seth Curry. They have some really good shooters all around them, and they address the rebounding with Drummond. But Ben Simmons basically he doesn't have to do one thing on offense. All he has to do is guard the other team's best player because there's so much offense around him. And Patty Mills is having such a good season. Him and Seth Curry together is like lethal shooting from the wing. The real only thing they don't have other than Ben,
you know, I think it was necessary. He's gone. Curry as well.
But defense, they didn't have any defense before, and Ben Simmons actually addresses that need. So if, you know, if they are facing off against one another in the playoffs, you know Ben Simmons is going to be on Harden, which is going to be awesome. I mean, the other way around, I don't know. But Ben Simmons could stop him. We haven't seen him play since June, but he's younger. He's not fat. He doesn't have a history with injuries like this hamstring that's been hampering Harden forever. And he's arguably not as much of a diva as Harden. So I don't know. For me, the Nets out of that trade there are the clear winners, in my opinion.
Now I'm not saying that Philadelphia, quote unquote, won the trade, because I think Philly probably gave up more than they wanted to. I mean, going into the trade deadline, the Sixers had their team as constructed, minus an all NBA caliber player in Ben Simmons. And now they've replaced that hole with a top 10 guy to go alongside Joel Embiid, who can offer proper spacing. And I don't think that hamstring issue and the hand issue, like, something tells me that Mr. Harden is going to snap out of this slump very quickly. So this season, for this season, and possibly even next season, like the rest of James Harden's true prime, I just feel like the 76ers upgraded their top-end talent, and now they have the best duo, I think, in the NBA.
All right, Graf, I'm going to throw it to you. You know, what's another team that really stood out for you in the NBA trade deadline? You know, we see the Mavericks sending Porzingis to the Wizards. We got, you know, Derek White going to the Boston Celtics. You know, Serge Ibaka's on the move. Obviously, CJ McCollum was traded. What's another team that really sticks out to you that you would say is another winner of the NBA trade deadline?
For me, it's actually two of the early trades that happened. I think both Indiana and Cleveland got a lot better in terms of both of their timelines this trade deadline. Caris LeVert going to Cleveland for honestly not that much. I mean, Ricky Rubio's out for the rest of the season anyways. They gave up picks. They can afford it. Their core is really young, and all of a sudden they look really good. They're like the 7-footers. They're tall. I like what Cleveland's doing. Darius Garland, you saw them in like the All-Star draft. They were fighting over Darius Garland. I don't know why that much, but he's really good and young. And Indiana basically just reset, right? They got Tyrese Halliburton, who in my opinion is or was the best person on Sacramento or the best player on Sacramento. I'm always going to think that Sabonis is a bit overrated just simply because he was on a bad team. And I know he's a 2-time All-Star, but I don't think Sacramento's going anywhere.
I will say that.
Sure, but when the team itself isn't going to be in contention, they're not really going to win. They're maybe going to get to a play-in spot. So I don't know what, and I think that Fox isn't that great. Fox and Davion Mitchell as a backcourt is not nearly as good as Halliburton and literally a scrub, in my opinion. So I don't know. I don't know what Sacramento was doing in that trade. I was pretty vocal about that on the Twitter.
Give me a second.
I think a lot of people in Sacramento didn't know either.
A bit more, the Pacers trade. So, you know, bringing in, you know, Tyrese Halliburton, the prospect, someone that realistically could be a top 10 point guard, you know, within a couple of years. How does that style with Malcolm Brogdon? Do you see Pacers maybe moving Malcolm Brogdon in the offseason, or do you view him considering how much money and years they invested in him?
I think they keep him, and Halliburton can play off of him. Like, he can play the two right now, but in terms of development, I don't think he's going to be there longer than next season. I think he's one of those players that next trade deadline will probably be a big name that could be on the move.
I feel like Duarte and Halliburton are like perfect backcourt partners. You can't get stylistically two better players to play along.
It's true. I just wish Duarte was like 3 years younger. You know what I mean? Like he's a bit of an older rookie. Let's say, I think he's 24 years old, and Halliburton's so young. So I don't know. I mean, I like those two as well as a backcourt. It sucks that they got rid of Holiday. But you know, for now with Buddy Hield and Tristan Thompson, and they still are going to keep Miles Turner there. You know, they're young players. Everybody that's on their team that's under 25 is like a promising prospect. So I like what Indiana did, and I like what Cleveland did.
Hey, Brand.
Right. You feel like
Rick another Carlisle, team can be.
Yep. Sorry, Greg. It's kind of throws to you really quickly. Kind of going back to the Pacers. You know, got an understanding of the methodology of all the coaches in the league. Carlisle is a type of coach that is conducive to long-term success with a young core.
In Indiana, I think it would fit. I couldn't see him, you know, out in one of those California teams with that style. But the culture there, I think, will be supportive of his style. And you know what? Like, the guy, although he could be a bit abrasive, knows the game, and he's got the credibility because, he's got the credibility because he won a championship. So, and none of those players have done anything yet. So they're probably going to be eager to learn. And I see them maybe next year being a fun upstart team.
Right.
But you were asking about the winners, and Graf brought up previous deadline moves. You know, we didn't talk about the Pelicans kind of just slinking away with McCollum. I think that's a really good pickup for them. Like, if you look at their, let's assume that Zion comes back, right? You've got Graham, you've got McCollum, you've got Brandon Ingram, Zion, and JV. That's a good starting five, right? So, and I think it adds much needed spacing around Zion. So that's an underrated pickup. Hey, it's an underrated pickup. And finally, another winner, I think, I don't know how the Wizards, I mean, they had to take his money. They had to take Porzingis' money. But in terms of like talent, I know he's injury prone, but he's played good this year. And to me, like, Spencer Dinwiddie was not playing well. And Bertans wasn't even playing. So, and he's making a lot of money. So yeah.
I was looking at it, and my expectation was, okay, the picks are going to trickle in after the Woj bomb on his like $18 million a year. You know, Dinwiddie's up at like 15 or something, and like, as you were mentioning, he's been a shell of himself this year. So, you know, it's definitely been it's going to be an I don't know. How do you feel about Luka and with his new teammates?
Well, the thing is, they played so well without a traditional five. And, you know, it was always a bit, there was always a bit of tension there between Luka and Porzingis. I think Porzingis thought that he was coming in to be a co-star instead of a glorified role player, which is last year certainly how they used him. This year, he's got more touches. I wonder if he doesn't get injured if this trade happens. Right. Like, because he was playing so well, but his biggest knock is that he can't stay healthy. And I think long term, they're trying to free up salary to go after like another big time star and really maximize Luka's prime. And if you want to know how Luka feels about it, last night dropped a 50 piece without, you know what I mean? Like, so he's obviously feeling good.
All right. Let's get to the losers of the NBA trade deadline. I'll throw it to you, Graf. What's one team that really sticks out to you? You know, one team that you think should have maybe done a little bit more at the deadline or had a very underwhelming trade?
Underwhelming. I mean, is this where I bring up the Raptors? I mean, look, we just talked about Porzingis, and apparently there were some rumors that, you know, we could have had him. I know a lot of people were upset, especially initially. I think I put myself in that group too, that thought that the Raptors were going to do a lot more, but it just turns out that we didn't get anything for Dragic. And the only reason I say that is because every other team in the East seemingly got better, right? Like even Boston got getting Derek White, which is a great move. I think a lot of the teams in the East, I can't really criticize a lot of their moves. I think they all did fairly well. So
you think Derek White was a good move?
I do for Boston, just simply because, I mean, look at their two right now. This is like shaping up to be a CJ McCollum Dame situation here, where if the two of them don't work, I'm talking about Brown and Tatum, they're going to have to do something about it. So I think, yeah, they're kind of all in, and Schroeder wasn't moving the needle in any way. Derek White's a good player, man. I think he's really good, and anyone who comes out of the Spurs is going to be good. I don't know. I like it a lot.
I find him very redundant to Marcus Smart. I think they both kind of bring the same skill set, kind of non-shooter, sort of physical defender sort of mold, but you know, another team that was largely was the Utah Jazz, you
know, with the exception of
Greg, what are your thoughts on the
Covington's
gone, Norman Powell is gone.
The corpse.
They brought in the expiring corpse of Joe. Like, what do you think about this organization, and what is the future?
Yeah, it's confusing. They made that trade with McCollum. They got Alexander Walker and then traded him to Utah. It seems like they're potentially trying to do a tank job to get for this year.
Quick rebuild?
And maybe flip the pick for a talent player next year. Like, apparently, from what I can understand, they're looking for another big-time star to pair with Lillard. Now, to do that, though, they have to accumulate assets, right? Apparently Lillard wants to stay there. This is what all the indications have said. He's been hurt this year anyway. At this point, you wouldn't be surprised if in the offseason he asked for a trade, right? As for Utah, you know, it's tough because they've been kind of sliding, but in part that's because Gobert and Mitchell haven't really been healthy. I think when they're complete, they're as good of a team. I think they're right there. I mean, they're a tier below. They're a tier below Phoenix. They're a tier below Golden State still, but they're right there, I think, in the conversation. So, and I was a little bit surprised that they didn't do more in that sense. But again, they probably believe in their team and just chalk it up to injuries. As for the Raptors being a loser, I don't know if the Raptors are losers. At the trade deadline, I certainly was a little disappointed after hearing that.
I never said that.
Well, they weren't winners, right? I mean, look, I like Thaddeus Young, but we're talking now a bit of positional redundancy on this team, to say the least, right?
No, we play positionless. We don't need positions. Who needs positions? It's 2022, Greg.
Okay, I wait till we play Embiid in the playoffs. Look, okay, well... And again, you know, Bran, I digress, but certainly Utah and Portland, definitely Portland. I don't know if they're a loser from the trade deadline, but they've definitely taken a step back now as a franchise.
Definitely a loser. I forgot about Portland. Sorry, that's my fault. They were definitely the loser of this deadline.
Great. Graf, what are your thoughts on, you know, the guy that, you know, we were doing our mock draft a couple years ago, and you know, Graffin was talking about this guy is going to be transcendent, the next future face of the NBA. Marvin Bagley going to the Detroit Pistons, offering a couple second round picks for someone who has largely been arguably one of the biggest draft busts of the last decade or so.
You want to handle that, Graf? It was directed to you, I think, more than me.
I would assume so. I think that, again, with Bagley specifically, look, it's funny because he's one of those players that I just don't believe in Sacramento, right? And I think it's a terrible, like, culture and a terrible franchise that he ended up coming up in, which hurt his development. I mean, he's been so sour, you can even see it off court. But when he's been on court, when they've given him the opportunities, he doesn't play that poorly. I mean, he's never been a good shooter. He's been a slasher who's, you know, extremely long and sort of very modern NBA. And I think that with a new start where he got, you know, I think it's a good thing for him as a player. Now, again, he's not going to the most winning culture, but at the same time, they're a team that's more on the up, in my opinion. And I think that he just got into the bad books in Sacramento, and he never really got out of the doghouse there. So they never really gave him that opportunity to sort of grow. And you're right. Like, when people like Luka and Trey and people around you are doing so successful in the same draft, there's a lot of pressure on you, not just from yourself, but from the organization, the fans. You feel it, and that makes it
your dad
10 times harder, right? Yeah, his dad is like, but his dad hates the team, right? His dad is mad at
his
team,
dad.
Not at his team.
I think his family was beefing with, like, Darren Fox's family. And like, it was a very messy situation.
See, that's there's it was toxic, right? Like, I don't like to use that word too often, but it was a very toxic situation for him. So I think a new start is good. And he's still young, man. Like, again, he's never going to be Luka. Obviously, I'll contend that I wasn't wrong there. But at the same time, you guys both said the Embiid contract was terrible. So I was the only one who had that guy's back. And you know, he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine. Don't give up on him yet is, I guess, my main point.
Dwayne Casey, I think, is the perfect coach. Like, you talked about the the culture, you know, you talked about the culture in Sacramento, or sorry, the culture in Detroit, right? It's not a winning culture. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean though that the culture there is bad in the way that the team is organized, right? In Sacramento, it was more chaotic. Luke Walton, like, it was more, they were fast and loose and they were losing, right? Versus Detroit, like, they know who they are. They for the most part, you know, they got young guys that work hard. I could see Bagley finding himself there. And honestly, Dwayne Casey, again, he's the perfect reclamation project coach, right? Like, I mean, look what he did with Lowry, right? He gives them the tough love. Someone's got to be honest with that kid, right? It's like,
as well as Christian Wood as well.
Oh, yeah. No, Casey is very respected by players, and I think he's great for young players. Even though he's an older coach, he relates very well to the players. He has a very straightforward way of talking to them. I think it'll be good for Bagley.
All right, let's jump to the Raptors moves. I know we kind of mentioned Thad Young. Graf, what are your expectations of him coming into the latter half of the season? You think he's actually a contributing member off the bench, rotation guy? What is Thad Young? What does he bring to the Raptors? And is he actually going to contribute in the stretch run?
In the end of the day, and this is why I was trying to defend what I was saying earlier, just because the Raptors didn't do much, I think it was a good move. I think it was a decent deadline overall. And I think that social media and Twitter and fans freaked out because they thought we're going to get the world for Goran Dragic, or they thought that we're going to, you know, be able to actually do a big move like Kristaps Porzingis or shit, even Gallo for that. But I just don't think anything was there. They didn't want to sacrifice anything in the future, and they really don't want to take on salary past 2023. So they're going to have to pay OG. They're going to have to pay Freddie's going to have to go up. Gary Trent's going to have to go up. Barnes eventually. So I don't know. In my opinion, the Raptors did well here. I think Thaddeus Young specifically, again, this year, if you take that away, because his minutes just went down. Like, he went from 24 minutes in Chicago the year before all the way down to, like, what, I think it's 14 last season. So this is a guy who averaged 12 points, you know, I think it was 6 rebounds and 4 assists off the bench 2 years ago in Chicago. Like, that's not long ago. He started 23 games. He was a viable piece, and he's still 33. So it's not like he's 36 like Dragic, or someone who didn't play like Dragic. So yes, I think he will be able to come and help, you know, the rotation, specifically with Barnes, OG, and Pascal. We're going to be able to give them a break because he's sort of interchangeable, right? Like, we do play positionless, like I was saying to Greg earlier. We play in such a way that he can step in for 3 positions for us, right? Like, he can really do that. Yeah. And I think that him and Boucher and Kem Birch, sure, it might seem redundant, but also it's more competitive that way. Like, they're going to each have to scrap and fight, and we can pick and choose, you know, who's having a good game. And even if it's not Thaddeus Young, even if he doesn't come out there and get 12 points and 6 assists or whatever it is, like, because he won't, honestly, I'll say that now. He does bring that veteran leadership. And that's the one thing I guess I got out of Masai's press conference today, is that he's believed in this guy for a long time. Like, he's always had a need to get Thaddeus Young on his team, and he finally got him. And one of the main reasons is because of that, you know, locker room presence. So I'll trust in Masai. I will never doubt that man again, since I wanted Suggs instead of Barnes and criticized him for it. So fuck it, man. I'm all in.
Look, for this so year. I'm not doubting that, you know, Thaddeus Young will bring the veteran presence that we hope that Dragic would. It's just that at this point, the team has these glaring weaknesses, right? Like, one of them being defensive rebounding, and Young isn't, I'm sure, you know, he's a decent rebounder, but he's not really going to help us there. He does add, okay, he does add to some bench depth. I mean, but any serviceable player would have done that because Goran Dragic was working out in Miami. Okay, so, okay. That being said, he does have some decent playmaking chops. Okay, I've seen some clips of him. He's a really good passer out of the pick and roll. Right. There's benefits to it. It's just that, you know, if you were like me and you were tapping into that rumor mill and you're seeing, you know, some of the potential deals that were out there, specifically for some of these stretch fives that could really open up our offense or give us some decent rim protection, that was intriguing to me. That being said, this team has played so well as of late. And it is an experiment to the extent that they're going to want to see this out. Like, how does this team look in the playoffs? Then you really know what your weaknesses are, right? So I think they'll wait to make any big moves in the offseason. But as it stands, to me, the roster has clear weaknesses that need to be addressed going forward.
All right, the
So I just want to quickly say, Brandon, that there's a big deal. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say that this draft pick, the first round draft pick we gave up, is not as big of a deal as it seems. I know everyone keeps putting, it's a first round. It's a first round. Why would we give up a first rounder? Man, no. Masai knows it's 10 draft spots max, like maybe 15 max. Masai is going to draft us someone in the second round early with Detroit's pick that would be just as high caliber as some other fucking team in the 20s, because it's happened the last 3 years. So I think he can do it. And yeah, that's my last point. Sorry.
All right. The last thing I want to touch base on, I guess we can fold it into Greg's gripe as well, is the performance of Russell Westbrook. The last couple of weeks has been a tumultuous. I like to think of Russell Westbrook as like a typewriter repairman, and then the age of the internet is thinking that's not going to take off. That's not going to happen. I don't have to pivot in different directions. So he's still typewriter repairman in the age of the internet, and that's his skill set as a player. Kevin O'Connor wrote an incredible article about this years ago about, in order for him to succeed in Oklahoma without Kevin Durant, it's up to him to evolve his game. And the fact of the matter is that he has not evolved whatsoever. 20 years ago, by Yash Matang on Sporting News, that the Lakers for Durant. So on this guy, what are your thoughts on his future in the NBA? Because this has been
So let me begin by saying that I definitely don't think he's had a good year by any stretch of the imagination, right?
Like, wow. I'm not
okay. This being said, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think he takes too much of the blame for the Lakers' failures this year. They lost the other day to the Portland Trailblazers. Okay, with the Portland Trailblazers minus Damian Lillard, right? With a bunch of guys that I never even heard of. They had LeBron, they had AD, and they still lost.
Hold on 1 second. So, you said something that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You say it's not Russell's Westbrook's fault.
What I'm saying is the Lakers' current record, right, is beyond just the like Russell Westbrook.
Okay, how much money does he make this season? How much money is he earning? $44.2 million.
Yeah,
think about that money being he's a part. Based on the amount of money that he earns per season, he has an obligation to perform to a certain level. He's obviously not performing at that level. He's making $44.2 million. If that wasn't on the books, how could they fill up their roster? How would their roster look different?
They could.
At the end of the day, and that's my question to you. Why should you blame Russell Westbrook for his performance?
They chose
the vet minimum, dude. He's earning $44 million.
But they chose to sign guys only making the minimum, right? And they just didn't want to pay more of the tax, right? They were being cheap, right? They let Caruso go. They should never have done that. He's a fantastic defender. He's exactly the kind of player that they need, right? Like, they have Trevor Ariza out there. No one even guards him, right? If you watch that team, right? They just don't. They have guys that are so washed up. Like, DeAndre Jordan can't play anymore. Like, the roster itself is flawed beyond Westbrook, right? Now, that being said, what, like, all the pressure and all the media, and you could see it's psychological. Like, Westbrook's not that bad. Like he's missing shots that he's made, like layups. He's missing layups. He's in his head. Listen, because he's so in his head, right? He's so in his head now, he can't even relax and play. And another problem is that they...
Do you have, like, Stockholm Syndrome? Like, did Russell Westbrook kidnap your child? And he said...
I think bringing him off the bench, would actually be a good thing, right? Because it means that he'll actually be able to have the ball more, right? When he's playing next to LeBron is so ball dominant, and yeah, Westbrook doesn't do enough off the ball. He just doesn't, right? Like, so, he doesn't space the floor well.
The only thing is, let's get to the cool hand of reason.
Christian Graffin, give me your rebuttal.
Well,
hold on. I think John Wall and Eric Gordon would be right now better than what Westbrook is giving them. I don't know the details of what was table.
That's not breaking news. Everyone fucking knows that, Greg. Westbrook right now is terrible, and you just told me that someone who's not even playing in the NBA and Eric fucking Gordon would be better than him. So, yeah, obviously Westbrook couldn't be playing that well in your mind if you think that is the combo they can get back and they would be
John Wall's not playing in the NBA because Houston's trying to tank. He's an all-star-ish caliber player, right?
Oh, like, yeah, you think so?
Yeah, like he's a better shooter than Westbrook, right? He's a bit younger than Westbrook, and you'd be getting another player in Gordon. So that was probably the best option for the Lakers. They didn't decide to go for it, right? But look, I'll also say this. I don't think the Lakers, though, are done. I think that they're going to get guys on the buyout market. Like, I could see Dennis Schroeder going back to the Lakers. I could see them.
Want to go to the Lakers, though? Like, what is enticing? Playing with LeBron James obviously is an enticing option. But if they're staying at 7th, 8th, 9th in the Western Conference?
You're asking? Well, for a lot of these guys, though, like, Dennis Schroeder is not championship or bust. That guy probably just wants to live in L.A. or whatever, right? Like, okay, a guy like Goran Dragic. Those are players that I could see the clutch, right? I could see clutch kind of having their sights on already. But I was surprised that they didn't make a move, at least something, right? At least something.
You don't have a draft pick until your child's your age.
Yeah.
They also value THT way higher than he is. And so do Raptors fans, in my opinion, too.
It's rough. It's painful. It's painful.
We're going to get this back on track. Graf, give me your rebuttal.
Well, for me, the most disappointing thing, and again, if you've watched the games, which, Greg, you claim to watch the Lakers games. I'm starting to question if you do or not. And it's not his offense, even though he's clanking them off the backboard and this and that. Because you're right. Like, once he drives and penetrates and passes, it's not bad. It's not terrible. It's just he doesn't play within his role and his attitude, right? Like, you heard him the other night. He said, I shouldn't have to justify with numbers or benchmarks. I should basically be out there because of my resume. And that kind of attitude, when you've been playing like absolute shit, specifically on the defensive end, I watched Russell Westbrook in some possessions literally stand there while the other four of his teammates are running around, switching around the court. His guy's in the corner and he slowly walks toward the basket. Eventually, it works his way to his guy who hits a three from the corner. And everyone looks at Russell Westbrook and he's just trying to charge down the floor to get another fast break layup. Like, it makes no sense. He has no self-awareness. He's making LeBron and AD frustrated with him, which is honestly at this point. Now, this is where it gets crazy for me. They are a better team if he wasn't even on it. Honestly.
But they
would be. I said it the other week because your point, what you're saying, Greg, to me, is that
they just lost to Portland without it. So it's obviously not that the problem is just with him. The team itself is not very good. They're too old, right? They don't have young bodies to guard, right? LeBron can't carry the load anymore. He's doing well offensively with his numbers, but it's not impacting winning in the same way.
It'll be really nice
Anthony like Davis's energy
dollars in the payroll to be able to sign guys that can fill out your roster.
Thank you.
No, but you know, but who like the players that they traded off for the most part, like what have they done in
they're
in
all Washington? Doing well. They're all doing
what
well.
Is Washington what Washington's sinking. They weren't doing well last year. What happened in the playoffs? Like they were a flawed team even last year. They're even more flawed now. Austin Reeves is their only like energetic young piece. Right? THT, I think he's overrated too. Right? It's sad,
Kuzma's,
man.
Kuzma's doing terrible this year, right?
Not leading to winning.
Doesn't matter. He just got a triple-double last night. He's averaging like the best numbers by far.
Bradley Beal is
Ball,
not playing.
Unbelievable. Randall, lead of his team. Like, sure, the teams aren't doing well, but all those players are way better.
I think you're right. No,
I can even say Caruso would be the best player on this team.
They definitely gave up too much for Russ, but like that's separate from what his like he didn't necessarily do that, right? Like that's between the management, right? So, but
it's his responsibility to perform on the court.
No, it's that is a separate issue, in a sense. Like that's not his fault, right? That they gave up so much to get him and that they left their team completely barren. I'll also say he's the only player on the roster that's played every game, but that one last night. Right? LeBron has been out for half the season. AD's been out for half the season, which is part of the problem too. Right? Well, they brought him in because he would be basically for that reason is to play when they're not playing because they're injury prone. Right?
Yeah, and they can't. He can't do that.
It's painful to watch. Like to see the fans actively tell him not to shoot. And to boo him, this guy's from LA too, right? Like, I know he acts like it doesn't bother him, but you know that bothers him.
No, it clearly bothers him. Clearly. He's talking shit in all the interviews.
You could see it in the – and I see what you mean about the lack of self-awareness with the guy, right? Like, he does – Melo needs to have a serious talk with him because we had this conversation about Melo a few years ago. Brandon, you said he was done. You called him a cadaver. Right? And the guy managed to actually carve out.
He's my favorite player in the NBA, Greg.
Uh-huh. But you thought he was done. We all thought he was done. Right? So, honestly, if Westbrook came off the bench, it would actually benefit this team. It really would. I think it would give them a boost.
I said that fucking 8 weeks ago.
But to not have him on the court to end games, that's rough, man.
Well, like, who have about $150 million committed to Westbrook, James, Davis, Tucker, and Kendrick Nunn next year. So good luck filling out that roster.
Kendrick Nunn's going to save the day.
If he opts into his player option.
Kendrick Nunn and Goran Dragic there to save the day for the Lakers.
Bro, they have Kent Bazemore. Luol Deng's on the payroll, apparently. Let's go. That's a roster right there. You know what? Before you leave, there's one thing I kind of want to throw in there. I was kind of reading this trade, and I didn't realize this went down. Remember when Nikolai Vucevic last year got traded from Orlando to Chicago for Wendell Carter and a pick? Who did that pick turn out to be?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us?
Wagner.
Hey, he looks good, eh? He's really, really good. You know who I actually wanted? If there was one or two people that I wanted for the Raptors, it was – honestly, Mo Bamba and Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks. Those are the two players that I really wanted. If we want a true center and like someone who's athletic and long and can switch and defensive first, those two would have been my choices.
I found Robinson's draft year so interesting. You know, you remember that whole story. He sat out the entire season. I think he was playing for Eastern Carolina or something. I can't remember what college, but he sat out the season and plummeted in the second round. That guy would have realistically been a lottery pick. If he elected to play that season. But nonetheless, guys, is there anything else you want to throw in there?
Just glad to have you back, Brandon. You know, we were like a ship, just adrift without our captain.
I don't know. I think we held our own. I don't think we need Brandon anymore.
I greatly appreciate it. I know I know you guys could definitely keep it alive without me, but I'm glad to be wanted. Unlike Russell Westbrook. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll be back more frequently. So we're going to try to do at least two a week. So thank you so much for tuning in. You can catch us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes. Thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic week.
Peace out, T-Dot.